this week found me and others, our soprano section's looking a little light this week, with some kind of flu or malaise or illness or cough. So as I sought rest and sleep and respite, I found myself thinking about when I was a little girl and I had a few sick days out of school. For me, this meant laying on the couch watching cartoons with a trusty bucket nearby. You kind of knew that. I remember watching Bugs Bunny and Porky Pig and, of course, Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. The coyote who wanted nothing more than a good dinner and chased the Roadrunner in tireless pursuit of achieving that goal. Trick after trick, strategy after strategy, trying to just catch the Roadrunner. However, you remember, the Wile E. Coyote each time would either encounter gravity or explosives, a rock or a sharp divide. The products of the Acme company might come to mind. Each time he would hear the beep beep as he ran off and picked himself off the ground. Foolish he is. Did you know he caught the Roadrunner once? There was one episode that he caught the Roadrunner and didn't know what to do once he actually caught him. We kind of like to laugh at that kind of foolishness. Despite the time they spent together in the same freeze frame, no one would accuse Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner of being strong friends. No one would accuse them of being spiritual friends, for sure. We've taken the month of February to talk about how to be healthy spiritual friends. We explored not being jealous, not claiming all the glory and attention and affirmation. And today, we turn to not being foolish. We kind of like to laugh at fools like Wile E. Coyote and imagine that's not at all how we are. None of us, to my knowledge, are running after Roadrunners, encountering gravity or any kind of explosives. But the Bible has a lot to say about fools. In fact, 143 times the Bible cautions against being a fool, believing fools, and relating to fools. So aside from the pranks of an April Fool's Day, when do you and I find ourselves acting the fool? So foolishness can mean silly, kind of joking around and invoking laughter. There's a joke that's told. I wonder if you've heard this one. How do you keep a fool in suspense? I'll tell you next week. I know. Now you got one to tell in school, Parker. That's going to be good. But being a fool can also be short-sighted, lacking insight or wisdom. And that's what Paul writes to the church at Corinth about. That's what the proverb that Chris read for us was about, the instruction not to be foolish. Rarely do you and I intend to be foolish. Sometimes we're just grasping at straws, not sure what to say or what to do, looking for wisdom when all we have is kind of accumulated experience. Sometimes we find ourselves feeling foolish because we didn't use all the resources at our disposal. Or we spoke sooner than we probably should have. This kind of wisdom I'm talking about is not just the accumulation of knowledge. Wisdom is not just who can recite the most periodic table elements, the mathematical equations, name all the bones in the foot, or the presidents from 1 through 45. Wisdom is how we process the knowledge we have. In our understanding of our faith, we understand God grants wisdom as a spiritual gift. It's listed in the book of Corinthians as one of those gifts. So today, I'm suggesting one of the ways to not be foolish is to seek wisdom in your faith life. I'd like to introduce you this morning, if you're not familiar, to the Wesleyan quadrilateral. You might, from your math classes, remember a quadrilateral is a four-sided shape, and that's all the math class we need to remember for this conversation. In Methodist tradition, we understand our faith to be illuminated, shaped by four elements: scripture, reason, tradition, and experience. While this was not the explicit words of John Wesley, theologian Albert Outler drew this from Wesley's writings to give us a sense of how to put the Bible alongside of everything else we bring with us in life. Let me say just a little bit more about each. In Scripture, we understand that our Bible is the first place for our faith. Through Scripture, we not just acknowledge that we've read it like a software agreement, but we learn about our ancestors in the faith. We learn about who God has called us to be. Scripture is enlivened with the presence of the Holy Spirit for us to know the past, what's our understanding of the present, and what is yet to come. We understand Scripture to be the fool of the Bible. Before there was a universal decision about which writings would be included in the Bible, there was debate about what letters and what histories would make up this document we call Scripture. Ultimately, the teachings of a wealthy shipbuilder, son of a bishop, Marcion, rejected, or wanted us to reject, the Old Testament, just all together, because he thought that God was not reflected in it. Through this heresy, we came to confirm what we call the Bible, that indeed all the books are an important way for us to understand who God is. Scripture has always been a vital part of Christianity. In fact, we'd say it grounds our faith. That's why it's shown as the floor of the house in the quadrilateral. We stand upon it. And tradition is not just we've always done it that way. In the early church, scholars and everyday people of faith had to answer questions just like us that weren't explicitly spelled out in the Bible. So they turned to tradition. They turned to the church fathers and the church mothers to answer those hard questions. For example, the doctrine of Trinity is one of tradition. Nowhere in our scriptures will we find that word Trinity. Go ahead and look. It's not there. However, we understand Trinity because of the tradition of the church. The development of the creeds in the same way. Tradition is the back wall of the house, providing form and structure. So with the Protestant Reformation and the later Enlightenment, reason was added to the house as a vital part of understanding our faith. Reason, a scientific understanding of the world around us, as well as our individual ability to reconsider what capacity we have to know what's happening. Reason responds to our understanding that the Bible asks to be interpreted. Reason acts as the roof in that picture because it's the full extent of what our faith can aim towards. Over time, traditions have added to their faith understanding. In the Methodist tradition, we added experience. Experience is what you and I personally encounter. Experience is when we open up the Bible and our hearts are warmed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Experience is when we're compelled to do something we never would have thought to do ourselves. Experience is the door through which we come to faith. It's the way we know God at all, that personal experience. So this theological construct is intended to give us a method for the challenging questions of our day. We might use the Wesleyan quadrilateral to discern what do Christians think about immigration in such a time as this? How should we relate to our neighbors, the one who irritate us so much that it takes up our dinner timetable conversation to talk about what they've done? The Wesleyan quadrilateral leads us to consider as a church years ago that slavery, even though it was in the Bible, was not what God was calling us to do. And furthermore, to dismantle such an institution. The Wesleyan quadrilateral is where we turn almost intuitively when we try to figure out for our children how to navigate the difficult world of the internet, even though there's nothing in the pages of the Bible that explicitly tell us which websites to let our children go to and which ones to keep them away from. The Wesleyan quadrilateral is where we turn intuitively when we try to make good medical decisions for our loved ones, using advances that are new and we don't know all about, and those we depend on day in and day out. The Wesleyan quadrilateral is what we use to put those pieces together and make strong decisions. However, we are foolish, you and I, when we read the Bible and think we've gotten it all figured out. The Bible is the living, breathing Word of God, and we must be in study for what wisdom God has even today. The discord Paul saw in Corinth was never-ending. It was at least four letters worth of conflict back and forth. Conflict over knowledge, which disciple was the right disciple to follow. Each time we are convinced that it's all just crystal clear, clear as ink, we're foolish to miss out on the complexity of the life God has called us to live. Our wisdom comes when we continue to seek God in all the ways we understand, through God's Word, through the tradition of those who have come before us, through the reason that is given to us, and our own experiences of the presence of God. I doubt that you and I feel like Wile E. Coyote, always failing in pursuit of our own personal roadrunner, foolish in that cartoonish manner. But I wonder if there aren't times we feel maybe a little bit foolish about not seeking God's wisdom. When a friend calls or stops you to unload or complain, and you miss the chance to offer them wisdom you thought about as you heard their challenges, wisdom in how to understand this situation from God's perspective. When a news article upsets you and you miss the chance to put it alongside scripture and reason, tradition, and experience and respond in a wise way to what's going on in our world. When our own circumstances overwhelm us, we still look to these healthy spiritual friends, the kind who can guide us with God's wisdom. Yes, to give us joy and laughter, but also to urge us on in this path, the healthy, strong spiritual friend of wisdom and of hope. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.